Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it is a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real-world factors that crept into the writing or if the episode was typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, I'm a lifelong fan, is familiar with all aspects of the franchise, and Ed here was familiar with Transformers, but there's really nothing he got into when he was younger, so thanks for being here, everyone. Ed, how you doing, man?
Well, it's technically still winter, but in the South, we don't get a real winter, we get false winter. But so where we are right now is we're in early spring. We're in the sneaking, like, dagger in the back of the early stages of spring, which means that the entire landscape is covered in pollen.
Oh yeah,
and which is irritating my throat and my eyes, but also something that I keep forgetting. I work from home. Or I do my day job from home. I do this job from home too. But I don't drive a whole lot. I don't really go many places, but I do a lot of walking. So I keep forgetting that my washer fluid is out in my car. And I keep forgetting to fill it up. But my windshield is just covered into layer after layer after layer of pollen.
Yeah.
And it was so bad the other day that I had to pull over. And I had a bottle of water, and I just dumped it all over the windshield and ran my wipers to clean this off, because I couldn't. It was like a whole haze of yellow. I just couldn't see anything. It was pretty terrible. So
how's the
pollen treating you? How's the southern snow treating you?
My eyes feel like I haven't slept in days, because they're just like, I feel like they're bloodshot red from the stinging. But we went out and did a lot of planting Saturday morning, kind of redid our patio area where I usually would grill. The grill kind of fell apart because we, once again, are in the South and everything rusts because it's always humid.
You didn't get a Weber, did you?
I did not. No.
We got to get a Weber.
Okay, man. Look, until like maybe 10 years ago, you were not Mr. Weber guy.
Oh, well, I was a vegetarian. I didn't need a grill.
Before that, you were not always a vegetarian. Don't give me that. I know better.
I got a Weber, and
yeah,
it was a life changer.
I got like a cheap like Weber knockoff. Like, I don't know, man. Like 4 years ago, it finally rusted through. Dude, I was using a thing in the burner covers, the triangular burner covers. Those things were falling off.
Oh, you got like gas. You have a gas grill.
Yeah. Well, I also have a green egg, but the green egg takes a while to get going. So I'm sorry, Mr. Charcoal Weber guy.
Hey man,
man. I know better. I've known you long enough to know.
Propane is the GoBot of grilling. Okay.
My green egg is the Fort Max of grilling, but it's a pain in the neck to get going.
Makes
fantastic pizzas and make fantastic drunk chicken on there. But otherwise, yeah, man. We went out there though. Saturday morning, we were like we did. She saw a TikTok thing where you take those 3 gallon buckets from Walmart or Lowe's or whatever, the big plain ones. You know, well, 5 gallon bucks. I'm sorry. I apologize for all you bucket enthusiasts out there. A bucketeer, if you will. We went and got some primer, and we got that cool, like, stone style texture paint. And it turns out that really sucks to put on plastic PVC. It doesn't stick at all. The primer was coming off. So I'm like, all right, look, this apparently is not going to be, we're going to have these janky looking, the janky looking pots that we're going to put our, we put like tomatoes and peas, and we did peppers and that sort of thing. Anyways, the little blackberries. I can't think of what they're called right now. I should know this. It's like a descriptor of wine. Anyways, yeah, we got those, and we planted all those, and I replanted this orchid she got for me for last birthday, and this really did this really cool thing with a terrarium for she got me things for Valentine's. So we have all these really cool plant things, and then we woke up this morning. It was like 31 degrees. I'm like, dude, what was happening? But you look at my shoes, and there's like this the weird. It almost looks like a topographic map of pollen on my brown shoes. It's like these weird waves. Like it's like a hillside on a topographic map. It's crazy. But yeah, man, that's how it is here. And as I drove around Sunday, I think we grumbled something something plant sex something something hate this several times. So yeah, that's how pollen's treating us right now. So yeah.
Oh God, yeah. Well, here's a question for you though. Speaking of, we're talking about grilling animals on the grill, but how do you feel about funny animals? Funny
Oh.
animal comics. Were you a fan of funny animal comics back in the
Yeah,
day?
man. Of course, Heathcliff, Garfield.
Well, I mean, in addition to those guys, I mean, like, there was a wave of like serious, like quote unquote serious, like funny animal comics, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a
Oh,
funny animal comic. It's a
okay.
funny animal comic.
Yeah,
I mean,
anthropomorphic animal
yeah,
comics.
I mean, they called them
Soggy
funny animals. I mean,
Jimbo, yeah.
in the comic scene back in the day, those were called funny animal comics. Did you like funny animal books? Like funny animals
Yeah, I
back in the day?
did. I mean, really, you could say there was a bit of that in the Tick, but TMNT, I liked it. Okay, I never got into it. It was like early, like the really gritty stuff, and it came on early. But I read some of the stuff later on that got put back out. I know you were a fan of Usagi Yojimbo.
I was a fan of Usagi Yojimbo. I was a fan of my favorite out of these though was Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters, which was a complete
What?
knockoff of Ninja Turtles, but just it was a parody basically, where they were all named after action movie stars instead of artists, and so they were named like Jackie Bruce. Jackie Bruce, Chuck, and Clint. And so they were all like martial arts guys, except for Clint, who just carried like a 44 revolver and it would just shoot guys, while the rest of them had like nunchucks and stuff. It was but it was like that and like Boris the Bear. But
There was
like you
also
said, I was a big fan of the book Usagi Yojimbo, who is a samurai rabbit. If you speak any Japanese at all, you know that's a that Usagi is the Japanese word for rabbit. But you might also remember that character because he crossed over into Ninja Turtles on the cartoon a few times. But honestly, the comics are really good. And I'm not gonna lie, I think that even though that's like a funny, like an anthropomorphic like animal title, those are probably the easiest and best reading fiction ever about samurais. I'll take Lone Wolf and Cub to my grave. Like I love
Oh,
Lone Wolf and
dude, yeah, I
Cub.
love that book.
I'll take Seven Samurai to my grave and all that too.
Yeah.
But I think that those comics are the easiest to read and they're actually extremely accurate to the time period. They're very good. But here's where it gets weird is that I don't know where or why this happened, but in the early 90s, Stan Sakai, the guy that wrote and drew Usagi Yojimbo, did a spinoff called Space Usagi, where he took that character concept, a samurai rabbit, and put him in space. And his art style is really cool. I like the art style. So I read that for a bit. It was just like, why am I, this is weird. Why am I reading this? But the thing is that they did, I didn't know this, at some point they did a movie version
Really?
of Space Usagi, written by a dude named Michael Charles Hall, who also wrote this episode of the Transformers.
And who also wrote Cold Slither, which we
Cold
apparently
Slither.
like in this podcast because I love making videos with Cold Slither.
Why haven't we done Cold Slither as a subdivision yet?
We totally can. And
I think we should do that next week. I think that's actually the next place.
Speaking of all that, I told you a little earlier. I'm not going to say everyone who I've approached, but got a hold of Michael Charles Hill, and he will. He said he will be doing an interview with us. He just had to get through TFCon, so
Score.
you definitely should be part of that because your love of Usagi so in space, no less.
And yeah, and also Cold Slither. I'm a fan. I'm
Oh,
a
Cold Slither,
fan. I'm an enthusiast for Cold Slither.
yeah.
This guy also wrote some Jim and the Holograms, which
Yes.
I'm an on record fan but he also did. Here's kind of a hidden gem though. He also did the translation of an anime movie called Space Adventure Cobra.
Really?
Do you know Cobra?
Cobra.
Yeah, Cobra
Cobra.
was a pretty fun thing, but it was a weird it was a thing that it like I think they localized that in like 83, which was like why would you do this at that point? That's because the only anime that existed at that point as far as the US was concerned, was
Robotech.
Speed Racer. No, Robotech wasn't even out yet. Robotech was
Oh, you're
not
right.
out.
No, you're right.
Robotech
A3, yeah.
was still like 2 or 3 years away.
Was
It was Speed Racer,
yeah,
Astro
you had
Boy,
to. Yeah.
and G-Force, Battle of the Planets. Those were the only
Yeah.
anime that were really out.
Yeah.
And at
Right.
that point, I think like Kemba and Transor Z was kind of a thing, but for the most part, there wasn't a whole lot of anime then. And
Yeah.
doing a whole movie, really, like, why would you do this? But do you remember why it became relevant again?
I don't actually know.
Because in 1991, Matthew Sweet put out Girlfriend,
I
and the
do remember
video
that.
for Girlfriend was just clips from Cobra.
Is that really where it's from?
Yeah. Yep.
I recognize the style. It's the Yurusei Atsura style.
That was
And
his that was from the second Matthew Sweet video from
yeah. Oh,
Girlfriend.
okay.
Yeah. Because
Okay.
the video for Girlfriend was just Cobra. It was this the second video, I can't remember the name of it, but it was Lum. Was just clips from Lum, yeah. So yep, Matthew Sweet, old school weeb, I guess. So
oh yeah, he seems like a pretty good guy though, but yeah, pretty much old school weeb.
I'm a fan of Matthew
Oh yeah,
Sweet.
Me too.
So
I
yeah.
love Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, man. We could talk about things like this forever, but I think we should get right into it because I know Danny will be clocking us at 25 minutes talking before we get to Transformers. So this one's for you, Danny. But yeah, man. So The Gambler, this is actually one of my favorite episodes. It's a continuation from Child's Play, kind of loosely, but still is.
It leads directly into it.
Oh,
And
it does. It's
and the
like
thing is,
my Autobots and Adventures in Space, like two part.
Well, see, and here's the thing, though, is that it starts off with them flying in this rocket with no setup and no previously on Transformers or anything like that. So, but the thing is, I was like, I wonder if the same animation studio did this as did Child's Play, and I wonder if they remembered enough to draw the rocket the same. So I loaded up previous episode and
Really?
checked the end of it, and it is the same. It is the same
Very
rocket.
nice.
And I'm going to go on record and say that it is the same animation studio because of some
Likely.
terrible animation that we're going to
Yeah,
touch on
likely.
just a bit.
Yeah, so I got a few facts to when we get to it on the as we go through the episode here, some kind of fun things. But yeah, this the Tor rocket. Apparently, the Inferno calls Perceptor Mr. Wizard, and he can't keep the rocket going. So it's like it's broken down in space, but there's like this ship that comes along, grabs with the claw, and pulls it in. We are introduced to Bosch, who is he's like a smuggler, piratey smuggler guy.
This dude looks like alternate universe Magneto.
He kind of does. He really does.
He looks like space pimp Magneto.
But also, yeah, there's some thing with this also. The name Bosch. Okay, so it's kind of significant that he deals with a smokescreen the entire episode. Because if you look on the front of the car that smokescreen is modeled directly after, there's Bosch, B-O-C-H, B-O-S-C-H, like the
Spark plugs.
Well, yeah, spark plugs and
Yeah.
other you know entertainment things, but yeah, that's where the name came from. So weird little
okay.
thing there. Yeah, I thought it was B-O-S-H, and I was talking to Boo at the Excellent Underground, and he was like, "It's like, oh, here, show let me show you the front fender of the car has Bosch
yeah,
on it."
B-O-S-C. Yeah, which is they made racing spark plugs actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They make a lot of a lot of implements for cars, like aftermarket things. That was it Bosch's the slogan is we don't make things, we make them better. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, so yeah, they're into the ship, and they're all directed out, and they're immediately captured, and they're put in these tubes, like from like this island Earth.
They get put in the glass tubes.
Yeah.
This is a sci-fi trope I haven't seen in a very long time. I don't see
Love
people
it.
get
Yeah.
in glass tubes a whole lot. This is a very Twilight Zone thing to have to have happen to you here, and I feel like it's kind of a scrub move to get captured in these things.
But they're standing there, and they go, it goes boom, 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 covers them all, and they get immobilized. And Bosch takes his victory lap. You're like, I've immobilized all your weapons. Yeah, nothing's gonna work anymore. So I'm going to basically give you a shock and subdue you. And apparently, Bosch has such janky glass tubes that it doesn't work on the smokescreen.
Yeah, I didn't understand why it didn't work on the smokescreen.
Yeah.
But this dude also is such like a gambling addict that he has a slot machine right there in his torture chamber.
Yeah.
Like this dude is like it's like Frank Booth from like Blue Velvet. How he's got to carry the tank around with him so he can
Oh yeah, the
constantly
O2 tank.
hit the
Yeah,
nitrous.
The or nitrous. That's right. It's nitrous.
He's got to gamble at all places. He's got to have like a like,
Yeah. So yeah, he like takes a break monologuing and goes over there to like pull the lever, and he loses. He's like, I rigged my
he
own
loses.
machine. I can't even win. Like, why are you a gambling fanatic? You can't even win on your own broken machine. He put God mode. He did the Konami code on his slot machine, and he couldn't win.
He still can't win. He still can't
But
win. He's like,
Smokescreen's like, hey man, look, I can help you here. I
I
can
know
make
how
you
to
win.
cheat. I can cheat.
Yeah,
I can cheat this thing. That's
they
what he
this is
says.
great.
Basically, he
Yeah,
cheats.
man. So Smokescreen is like basically puts out to everyone that, oh yeah, I cheat at things. But and we're supposed to like him. We're supposed to the moral compass of this episode is so skewed.
Oh, we're gonna come back. We're gonna
Oh
come back to We're gonna
yeah.
come back
So
to that.
he basically he tries he goes and has one of his robots like grab Smokescreen's gun and pull it away from him because he didn't deactivate it or whatever. So Bosch tells Smokescreen that he plans to sell the Autobots to get the Energon he needs. But that's when he goes to the slot machine and tries to do these. And yeah, he basically you Smokescreen has like this little cable in his arm with a little suction cup on it. It looks, it's kind of ridiculous. Like it
It's a
almost
real
looks.
that's a real Soundwave type device to have.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I feel like
Yeah.
Soundwave would have something like this. See, what I want to know is that so is that slot machine that he has there, does it is it just like a dummy one where he just practices doing, he just loves to pull the arm, or
You're a fanatic, man.
is it like connected to like the internet of gamble of space gambling?
No wonder he's broke because he loses
That's
at
what I'm
his
saying.
own.
Like what are the logistics of this? And then so because eventually we're gonna get to where he goes to a place just to gamble, and like, well, like if it was connected to like this
Yeah.
gambling network, then why did he have to go to this place? Why didn't he just gamble at his
It's
remotely?
like, is it like
Why didn't he
online
just work from
poker?
home?
Yeah. But yeah, they plan to go to Monica's and gamble.
Like Monaco, but Monacus.
But Monica's, exactly.
This dude,
And
but this dude has a shrink ray though. He's got a shrink ray. Man, like. Ground shattering device he has here, and he's just like, "Oh, my plan is I'm just going to shrink these dudes down and sell them into slavery
yeah,
for
100%.
money. It's for chi he can trade them for chips so he can go gamble."
And Smokescreen's like, that's a great idea, man. I'm gonna trade my buddies here for Energon so we can go gamble.
Dude.
That's like if you showed up with a girlfriend, wife, or whatever, and you're like, look, I'm gonna trade you as collateral to get some chips. So I'm gonna go gamble while you hang out here. Is that cool? Cool.
I mean, I see the logic here because he's like,
Oh
I'm
yeah.
gonna go along with this guy's plan so that I can free my friends.
Yeah.
I at this
Can't
point I get the
lose.
logic. It's gonna go off the rails here in a few
Yeah.
minutes, but I kind of get the logic here. So they go to Monica's, the I don't know what, like, were they gonna go to like
It feels like they went off the strip in Las Vegas. And they're going to these places trying to like trade the Autobots for collateral. And there's like one guy's like, man, look, Bosch, I'm loaded with robots. I go see Lord Gaikini. He'll probably work with you.
First, he said he tells him to go see Asimov.
Yeah.
Asimov.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. The name usage in this is great. And we're gonna come to that when we get to our next destination. So yeah, we go to yeah we go to meet. Well, you go to what is it? The pit of it's a pit of destruction.
It's a bit of
Lord
destruction.
Gaikini's pit of destruction.
Destruction. So I need to know a little more about the economy here because they
Yeah.
go into this place and a dude comes up and he wants like a cover charge from these guys of 5 Energon chips each. But they're watching these people battle these monsters, the Animalians, which is a
Yeah.
very cool name. I like that name a lot. That's very 1967 science fiction. I like that. So they're these guys are battling to the death. To the death, like if they survive for X amount of minutes, then they live and they also get 100 Energon chips. That's all you get. What, you're gonna risk your life for $100 basically? Because like 5 Energon chips to go watch a show is like, that's a standard. That's like a 1990s cover charge. I'd pay $5 to go watch a band or whatever.
Yeah, you
I
have to
can watch
wager.
Fugazi for $5,
You have
but
to
like.
wager 10 to make 100.
But I mean, like a hundred. That 100. You're gonna fight to the day. You're gonna like. Well, I could go work for a day, and make 50 energon chips, or I can fight a dude to the end of my die. I'm probably going to die because apparently nobody ever beat these guys for $100.
No, there's that for sure. But yeah, they actually go to when they're going to see Lord Gaikini. He is in Sheol, where the low life is low, and Sheol is apparently he's a Hebrew place. Apparently, it's basically the dregs,
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew name. But yeah, they go to see Lord Gaikini. Now, the funny thing, when they get hit up, and you're like, hey, no, we're here to do business. So Slizardo, the little fish guy,
this guy's awesome. But I'm also gonna say mm-hmm. that Lord Gaikini, this dude rules. This dude may be one of the coolest characters in all of the Transformers. I like him better than I like most of the Autobots. And like, this guy's great.
So his name, which is kind of funny, you know, that what we our interests are here. His name came from a mashup of two people. David Marconi, who also wrote on G.I. Joe with mm-hmm. Michael David Hollis, and Gary Gygax. They all hung out together.
Oh, because they would have been working on the D&D cartoon together at some point.
Probably.
They would have been running in the same circles. And yeah. Gary Gygax was a known wild man. He was a known partier back then. So
he got those two guys together and made Lord Gaikini out of it. So there's that.
Well, that's better than me thinking it sounded like insurance.
Oh yeah, actually, Marconi also wrote "Live Free or Die Hard." Hey, nice.
That movie's terrible. but yeah, this guy, he looks like a man. He looks almost like a Dragon Ball Z guy.
He does.
He's a giant fat dude, and he's awesome. He's so cool, dude. He has the coolest voice of like anything. I don't know who is like. I'm on record saying that I don't care about voice actors. Whoever did this guy is awesome. And he needs I need just a show of just this weird planet of gambling giant, like mm-hmm. fish dudes and like little high patched lizard sidekicks, man. This is great.
Yeah. He brings the Autobots in there. He's like, hey, I'm going to use the Autobots for collateral for some chips. And so he pulls out his shrink ring and like reverses it. And sounds like a slide whistle is like,
yep.
He says, I will give you Energon chips at 500% interest.
Payable within the
hour.
You get an hour. He gives them 50 Energon chips.
Yeah. At 500%.
But the stack of these things is there's gotta be hundreds of chips in the stack because it's like just stack after stack after stack of things. And so yeah, so Smokescreen pulls this deal where he's going to go gamble and he's going to use a little cheating thing. And
which again, moral compass is a little weird in this episode.
He's up. He's doing well. He's cheating to get his friends back. And I'm like, okay, well this is a plan. And
that's where it went wrong though.
That's
he got greedy.
He got greedy. He went all in, and then this little Adeptus Mechanicus dude from Warhammer 40,000 saw the little cable and he's all like, oh no, never gonna get rid of that. Says doesn't say a word. These guys don't do anything else. All he does is he's like a caretaker of the gambling machines.
Yeah.
But see, and here's where we're gonna get to the big moral quandary here, because this kind of thing happens all the time in these mm-hmm. kinds of shows, and it goes about the same way every time. So the good guy gets dragged down to having to deal with the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide to agree to the bad guy's terms, which is exactly what's going on here. He's like, okay, this is not necessarily a fair transaction, but it's a transaction that we've both agreed to. We've both agreed to this transaction. So, and then something goes wrong and they lose, and then they get mad and they vow revenge because they feel like they're the good guy feels like he's the one that got slighted here. I'm like,
yeah,
brother, you agreed to the terms that the bad guy mm-hmm. laid out. So and in this case, it's even worse because Smokescreen was cheating in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
He has done nothing morally right at all here. Dude uses his friends' lives as collateral so he can go and cheat at video poker. And then the robot Nazgul catches him and loses all the money. And now he's mad because the other guy is holding him to the bargain.
Yeah. And
it's like if you and me are sitting around watching football, and you say to me, "Ed, I bet you that the Saints lose this game." And he's like, I'll get up and go to the kitchen and get you a beer if the Saints miss this kick. And then magically somehow we decide we actually score a point. And then I'm like, "Hey, go get me a beer, Evan." And you're like, "I'm not gonna do that." I'm like, "Well, you laid out the terms of the deal, though." Like, he's like, "Well, it wasn't a fair deal." I'm like, "Well, but you created the terms of the deal and you agreed to the deal." So yeah.
Well, I mean, he they get mad. They go back to Lord Gaikini. Lord Gaikini already has his print shop print up tickets for the Autobots versus the
Dude, it's been less than an hour. He already has tickets for Autobots versus Animaliens. This is
He's
great.
only
He's
a,
got
he's got a
logos paper
printer in
and
the back
everything.
churning out tickets, man. This is
Jesus,
great.
it's got like a graphic design team on staff making logos for everybody. This is great, dude. This is like get a little production staff here. So,
Yeah, but we got pull way to see Astro Train land and Dirigent Ramjet D train. So the subtitles call him Astral Train again.
they did
It's
call
like
him
a
that.
yeah, Astral
You know what I
Train.
love here though is that
What's
he Astro Train complains that he's the space taxi here.
that? Yeah, he's like, I always fly you guys all over the place,
I'm
right
like,
after John, and you
yeah. I'm
complain
like,
about.
oh, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad somebody else figures out that he's just all he is a
Yeah,
transport
pretty
guy.
much. I mean, yeah, we'll come to a question later. Yeah, he uses all his fuel reserves to get there. But dude, like, Omega Supreme and Acid Train, there has to be a more fuel efficient method by getting of getting around, because every time Omega Supreme goes somewhere, he runs out of
He's out
fuel.
of gas. He's
Yeah,
yeah. He's
yeah, yeah.
out of gas.
But Dirge tells Ramjet that he has a feeling they're being monitored, and they are by the enigmatic
Who's
DEVCON.
this dude over here? He's reporting to somebody. Who's he reporting to? He's behind a rock and he's talking on a Dick Tracy wristwatch.
Well, maybe he's talking to his whoever his the bounty hunter who hired him.
Oh, we're gonna come to yeah. So okay, so he says in this episode that his he's a he tells the Autobots that he's a bounty hunter, or he tells Smokescreen he's a bounty hunter, and his job is to hunt down Decepticons. For who? For who?
And look, you're not supposed to tell who your source is.
Well, it's who you work for. It's like I tell you know what I work for?
Yeah,
Like it's like,
you're not a
"Hey,
bounty
what do you
hunter.
do?" I'm like, "Oh, I do this." And you're like, "Well, for who?" And I'm like, "For this." And like I, it's but especially
That's
for something like,
ridiculous.
because there's somebody paying somebody to hunt down Decepticons, you would think that the Autobots would probably want to know who it is. That's relevant to their interests. It's like if you told me you were like, "Oh, hey, my job is a sculptor of miniature figures for games," and I'm like, "That's my hobby." And I'm like, if I just went, "Oh, okay, cool." No, I'm like, who do you do it for? Show me your stuff. I need to see who you
Games
do this for.
Workshop. No one ever buys their stuff.
Well, but on top of that though, so Smokescreen's like, "Man, I could we could really use a guy like you on Earth hunting down Decepticons." And he's like, "Nah, man, I'm gonna leave Earth to you guys." Because I was like, "Okay, dude, it's your job to hunt them down. You said it's your job to hunt them down, and now you don't want to go where they all are." It's like if you ask your friend and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" You're like, "Oh, I'm working. I catch fish for a living." And then you say, "Oh, well, hey, man, I'm going out on my boat where the fish are in the Gulf. Do you want to come?" And the guy goes, "Nah, I got to go drive on the interstate."
I like this little pier in Bayview Park.
Not
This
even
is
a
much
pier. He's
better.
like he's going somewhere opposite of where there's like no fit. There's like I'm just gonna go to this. I'm gonna go fish in my bathtub. Like, bro, it's a target-rich environment. There's nothing but bounties for you there
But you
on
know,
Earth.
maybe they don't all have bounties on them. Maybe, you know, Dirge and Ramjet pissed someone off like recently. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go find them." And like, "Oh, they're flying through this system. You should go find them right now."
I
And
mean, you would think if somebody has a bounty on Decepticons, probably has on all of them. The leader of the Decepticons. Like, you tell me there's a bounty on Astro Train, but not on Megatron.
It's for because it's his bad fuel efficiency. It's a he's being it's a bounty on him by ecologists.
Ralph Nader has a
Yeah, there
bounty
you
on him for
go. So
more fuel efficiency.
yeah. And
He's
so
safe at any speed.
the he's talking to someone on his little two-way comm thing, and he's just like, "I followed the Decepticons to Monica's," and the subtitles say Monica's. So like he's going to Monica's house. That's where the Decepticons are going.
Like friends, like it from like on Friends.
Yeah, so and the Smokescreen and Boss are trying to figure out a way to get the Autobots back, and they're in the bar, and Something I'll say, we should probably check the action at Guy Canage tonight. Like Lord Guy Canage. They're gonna go watch their his friends die, pretty much.
Right, right.
Yeah. So Defcon, he comes into the bar though. He saves the pirate fish guy, Slizardo, from being manhandled by some robot thugs. And that's when Smokescreen sees his robot symbol. He's like, hey, come on over to our table. You're one of us. He's like, I haven't seen one of you guys since I left Cybertron during the wars millions of years ago. He's like, oh.
This was the Autobot equivalent of like when you're at a bar and you see a guy wearing the same metal t-shirt that you're wearing.
Oh, yeah, like, man. Like, did you go to
like,
that show?
Oh, you like Dark Throne too? And then he comes and sits down and you guys are bros.
Yeah, you find out he's a really terrible person, and you know, you awkwardly have to get away from him.
Yeah, that's real weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But I gotta say again that Lord Gaikini is the best, though. He's that's literally my note is, man, Lord Gaikini is the best. And I don't know what it was in reference to, but this dude's voice is just top notch. Just this guy's
great. It sounds like the Autobots are gonna fight the Animaliens. It sounds like sloth. He sounds like gluttony. He sounds
it's one of the most unique voices that I've ever heard. It's great. Oh yeah,
and yeah, Defcon is the same guy who I think voices Thundercracker because it's same voice, pretty much. But yeah, though, so they're the Astrotrain, Dirge, and Ramjet are Shield, but you know, subtitles say Astrotrain, Doge, and Ramjet. But they end up at Lord Gaikini's office saying that Megatron is not pleased with him.
What influence does he have here?
I think he's trying to, like, you're supposed to be getting more money for us on Earth to have more green energy. I don't know.
How?
How does he
communicate with him? How does he, like, does he space bridge out there?
Well, maybe he has, like, a little Dick Tracy walkie-talkie on a wrist also.
But how does he exert influence there?
I don't know, man.
And see, the Decepticons here, this is, I don't know, man. I can't but really justify this.
It was enough that they flew out there to see what's going on with our income.
They stopped by on the way chasing Autobots. It wasn't like they were flying around going, we need to stop by and see Lord Gaikini and shake him down for some money. It was like,
well, maybe it was like
they ran out of gas chasing the Autobots off of what's his name's planet, off of Aaron's planet.
Maybe it was more like, hey, we're going after the Autobots, and we should definitely do something about that. We lost them though back there. Let's stop by and see if Luke Guy can use some energon for us because we're gonna
run the Lando system. The what?
Yeah. Lando's not a system. He's a guy.
He's a man.
He's a man. So yeah, the Guy can he like injects the Autobots with unstable energon. He's like giving them like shots of some meth that's going to last for 2 minutes.
So he's rigging the fight here.
Oh yeah.
This was clever because no one thought they could last 2 minutes. So he's going to make sure they last 2 minutes. He's going to cover the bets and then he's going to cash in his bets. This is actually pretty clever. And it's a thing that I don't think that kids would understand what was going on in this, but I was like, oh, I know what he's doing here. He's cooking.
The house always wins. Don't ever bet against the house.
Yep.
But so their Optus is really, he's kicking butt, man. He's tossing the animalian around.
This and the awesome. This is the animalians look really cool. Like, do you remember those? I don't remember what they were called, but there were these toys in the 70s where like it was like a tablet, and you would put like these like pieces down that would have like parts of like a person or whatever. They made them for girls. They made them to put like dresses on and this kind of stuff. And you put a piece of paper over it, and you do like a rubbing of that or whatever. But they made them. With like monsters also for like you could take
them,
like a head and then like a body and then arms and legs, and you could do a rubbing of like a monster. Those were really cool. I can't remember what they were called, but I would I love those things. We should look those up.
They kind of look like it kind of looks like a large version of Battle Beasts, like a Battle Beast or something.
Yeah, it's got that kind of
It's like armor generic. On like monster head and stuff. Yeah,
it's just like a generic looking monster, and sometimes I like that. He's cool. Yeah. 1970s like Marvel Comics looking monster.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? Smokescreen, Optimus starts getting manhandled, and Smokescreen's like, I can't watch this anymore. So they leave. Him and Bosch leave, and they're like, we got to think of some way to go around and get the Autobots back. He's going to go back. Well, he's going to go back on his deal, which it was an unfair deal, yes. He was cheating to win an Energon. So now he's going to go steal him back. So he's going to go back on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. This is the moral compass is all over the place. But
And
yeah, he's
then
yeah.
this dude's a Decepticon.
He really could be. It's
Yeah, he's a
it's pretty
Decepticon.
pretty close. Yeah,
Yeah,
the
so he floods the whole stadium with the smokescreen stuff, and everyone's
he starts burning oil. Yeah.
yeah, he'll start running oil, and this is for the first time because he's gonna do this again later on.
Yeah. But
But
yeah, like people start going back and get their money back. Like, they realize they can't watch the fight, so they're trying to get all their money back from
oh, they're just
Bosch or
grabbing it too.
from Gaikini rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Snagging it. And so yeah, the smokescreen splits and Dirge and Ramchek come across him and they legitimately drop dummy bombs on him.
Yeah.
Never see that out of them. They're dropping bombs. It was kind of cool seeing it because they're doing like sweeping maneuvers, like they're flying a like a biplane in World War One, dropping bombs.
Yeah.
and so Defcon shows up to save Smokescreen, and he hits Dirge and Ramjet, and the subtitles had to say, "Damn jet, we're hit." So yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
But
Yeah.
yep. So
Astro Train gets in the
yeah.
fight here and he says, let me introduce you to my friend, Mr. Ionic Displacer.
Nice.
So there's more than one meaning for ionic displacement. One of them is actually displacing an ion in a molecule or whatever that is. I don't really understand because everything that I read on that was very confusing because I don't understand a whole lot about chemistry. When I say a whole lot, I mean at all. But there's an there's also that's also a phrase that you can use in poetry. And Shakespeare would often use ionic displacement in poetry. It's something about the meter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, atomic meter. I'm trying to think of the
It's something about like iambic pentameter,
pentameter.
something
Yeah.
along those lines. It's a thing where like words line up in a certain way. I thought that was
Yes,
pretty
yeah.
funny.
It gives it a flow. I don't think I don't think Astro Train is a poet. Just gonna go out on a limb there. So maybe he's doing chemistry with his gun. By the way, I took chemistry. I still know chemistry.
I don't think that ionic displacement really does much of anything is the thing. I think it just changes something into something else. It's not like a destructive force. It's just kind of like changing
It definitely
like
didn't do anything here. So
no,
there's
it didn't. It didn't at all. But
that.
something that did do something was a smokescreen dropping another smokescreen here. And all the robots are coughing. They're all white, but they're coughing and but they all sound like butthead. Like it sounded like 14 buttheads. Laughing it and
yeah, so Cesar says Lord Gaikini and the Decepticons are leaving the shield. That's when they come across him. So yeah, something else called Gaikini, Guy Connie. There's a scene where like Cesardo go Bosch and Cesardo go after Gaikini, and Cesardo stays the same size. He's like, there's two different cells, and Bosch gets huge. Like the
Lizardo is like sliding across the screen. It was very
things,
reminiscent of some stuff that happened in the last last episode of really bad like man, we're I'm like dude, I don't have time to animate this, man. Just move it, just drag it across this the background.
There's also a thing where Gaikini looks like his face is melting also. It's like going bleh.
God, this was it, yeah, it got real bad. This was like I don't know, man, like
End of Child's Play? Yeah.
It's at the end where they're just like, dude, like just finish it. I don't care. It's like the end of Evangelion when you're like, dude,
Man.
I don't have money for color. I don't, like whatever, man. Like,
I will always apologize for that. Just like Jay, who loves Spider-Man 3, I love the end of of the Evangelion anime. So but after all is said and done, after all the stuff that happens, they're like, hey, the Smokescreen's like, hey, the casinos are right over there. Y'all want to go? And I'm expecting, Optimus Prime to be like, Smokescreen, I think you've had enough gambling for today. No. He's like, well,
let's
all right,
go.
let's go. The Optimus is all for the gambling, man.
And then they're like, yeah, the Bosch is our friend. And I'm like, Bosch is a slaver that tried to sell you guys. Like, I
Yeah.
don't think he's really your friend.
Bosch is a slaver. Smokescreen cheats and trades his friends. Cesardo is the only, yeah, Cesardo gets into DevCon. They fly away as partners. They're going to
So
go solve things.
Defcon, okay, Defcon transforms into because he the whole time he hadn't transformed. He
Yeah.
transforms into like a spaceship or something like that. And
Yeah.
that's pretty good. It's a pretty cool looking spaceship. But so Slizardo decides, I guess he's gonna like buddy up with him, but dude, This is the buddy cop show that I need to see. I need to spin off of I need to spin off of these two guys like going around to like crazy planets like this, like some heavy metal like magazine style thing of them just like busting up like weirdo like degenerate gamblers and stuff. That's the show I want to see.
I know. The thing is though, it would have been a great show, especially if they had the animation style from heavy metal. But
Just make them slide across the screen. This is great.
Give them the Dan and Den kind of animation. I'll take that. Especially with Ulatek. Imagine them fighting against Ulatek and the priest. Oh, that'd be rad.
Yeah.
Oh, anyways. So yeah, it ends like they're going gambling and everyone has a great time. I guess they don't realize the rest of the Autobots are like, did y'all gamble us away?
Because they don't remember any of this stuff. So you'd think that it's going to come out where it's like somebody's going to let it slip. It's going to slip at some point. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, really? Yeah, hey, Smokescreen, when you gambled your friends away. And like they're like, Optimus Prime's going to be like, what now? You did a what?
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and that was it. And that was the episode.
It's fun. I always love this episode.
Kid Brain, to be honest, man, a Kid Brain would probably be bored with the gambler because like it's a lot of like hijinks and stuff, and there's not really too much like action. I probably would have liked that Optimus Prime versus the Animalian fight, and I probably would have tried to recreate that with like the bad guy from Stretch Armstrong who looked a lot like that guy. You know, that would have been a cool fight. But then you get the tease of DEFCON. Who did they ever make a toy of this guy? Was he?
They actually just did.
I couldn't have gone to the store in 1986 and bought this guy. Like that's
legitimately just finally made one after all this time, and this has been like a fan favorite character for years.
He's cool. He's
in one episode and people love him.
Yeah, he's awesome. He never comes back either.
No,
God.
Yeah, him and Cesardo are busting up gangs.
So yeah, so Kid Brain, all that. The lizard guy was pretty cool. And Kid Brain to me definitely would not have appreciated Lord Gaikini in the least bit. I would have been like, this guy's stupid. I don't want this guy. So Kid Brain's gonna go, middle of the road. I'm gonna go three repurposed animes into music videos out of five. But however, Adult Brain just ate this episode up. Adult Brain, like I wish I had more to say about it. Like I feel like I rushed through some of the stuff in it, doing the coverage and notes and stuff, but it was like I had a blast with this one. Lord Gaikini is like I cannot say enough how weird and cool that guy is, and cancel Book of Boba Fett and just give me Book of Lord Gaikini. let me watch this. Adult Brain's gonna go a strong four young adult nuclear Shaolin gophers out of five. Docked only and we're docking the gambler only 1 point because no one knew when to hold them.
Oh,
no one knew when to fold them. And no one knew when to walk away. All right. And see, I've been holding that in. I've been holding that in this entire episode. Now, I wasn't going to go
I'm
there.
Shocked but you actually held up that long. I was waiting for the Kenny Rogers, reference somewhere. I knew it had to be in there somewhere. There we are.
You can't say the word the gambler without referencing Kenny Rogers.
I'm not criticizing you for that at all.
Hey, when you were a kid, did you think that that Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton were married when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, totally. Everyone did.
Okay.
Islands in the Stream.
And I'm pretty sure. Well, and also they were like for a long time, they were the only two country people that I knew. And, one was a man, one was a woman. And I'm like, well, obviously they're the two that do country music. So they've got to be together.
They've got to be married.
Yeah. What did you think about The Gambler?
Gambler's one of my favorite episodes of the series, honestly. I love it. It's so much fun, and I always love seeing morally gray good guys. And he's not only morally gray.
He's bad. He's a bad guy.
He's a bad friend.
He's a real bad friend.
Dude, if I have a friend who's just like, oh, you know what? I need a little money, and I want to take you to the pawn shop, and I'll get you back, I'm sure, later, but as soon as I get a little cash. But right now... Yeah, I'll see you, man. You're not gonna know, but you'll be there for a little while. So yeah, man, I can't stand that. Bosch Gaikini, a blend of Dave Marconi and Gary Gygax. How appropriate.
Yeah, what a weirdo thing.
Yeah, these people all ran around the same circles. It's kind of cool to see it. So yeah, man, I'm all about this. I'm definitely, I have to give this thing like 4.5% of interest on my friends that I'm putting up in the pawn shop. So yeah, man, I'm all for it. I'm glad to see it, and I'm all here for it. And so yeah, we're gonna get into a string of pretty good episodes coming up here. So really, I'm here for that. I think the next one's search for Alpha Trion. I think
I believe you are correct. I mean, the
that
next
is
one in
not.
this the next episode we're doing. Did we decide we're going to do Cold Slither next week? Because I think we should do Cold
We
Slither.
should probably do that. Yeah, we
Yeah.
should do a little subdivision on Cold Slither. The how bad it is. And it's wonderful.
You.
It's wonderful. Man, if it wasn't for the song in the end, I would be all about it. The G.I. Joe song's terrible.
I want to throw a disclaimer out there that I haven't watched an episode of G.I. Joe, and like I haven't watched any. It's probably been 15 years since I've watched any at all, and before that, it was probably 15 years before
Wow.
I. So I mean, yeah, I haven't watched a whole. I have not revisited G.I. Joe like at all.
Some of those episodes are pretty bad. I do love how I was watching, they had like a I think a Pluto TV channel or something had G.I. Joe playing. Oh no, it was a YouTube channel. Like I think it was Hasbro Pulse, their YouTube channel playing G.I. Joe all the time. And
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, it was, I want to say it was the Pyramid of Darkness or something, and they find Shipwreck in a Cobra bar. He's a sailor in a Cobra bar, and they're dressed up like Cobra soldiers, and they trust them, and they bring it back to their base.
Yeah.
It was a weird show, man. It was
There were
wacky.
some bizarre episodes. Yeah.
But I really dug the stories, though. They're really good.
Yeah.
Well, so
All
we'll see how that goes. Yeah, man, I'm all for it. Cold Slither next week. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. So,
All right,
and
guys.
I got nothing else.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, so yeah, well, I'll update when I hear more about these interviews coming up. Like the only one I like, so I'm gonna spill about is Michael Charles Hill here. So I can't wait for that to pan out. So until next time, y'all, take it easy. Have a great night and week and all that sort of thing. All right, y'all, take it easy. You wanna give us a little?
Roll out.
There you go.
All
Finally,
right.
geez,
All
man, how
right.
many times I gotta prompt you? The Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the ExcellentUnderground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the ExcellentUnderground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.